Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 25th of August. Joining us, there's no truth to the rumor that Mr. City Manager is not around to fulfill his obligations, is there?
I can neither confirm or deny, Brian.
Casey Day, Fortuna Police Chief, is with us this morning. Hey, you made the one-month mark. Way to go, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. Going good so far. So. They don't have a pin for that yet, though, Brian.
Yeah, so yeah.
I ordered my own.
There you go. Yeah, one-month pro. All righty, Winston, why do we say it?
I've got soldier or steward.
Well, I don't know. They both are applicable. You take your pick.
Let's go with soldier.
How did the soldier get that name?
Okay, you got me.
I know there's soldiering on. But did that come before or after?
I would have to say after.
So if that's the verb, we're looking for the noun, huh? I don't know. Is it like Latin for something? Okay. I got my part in.
Latin
for defender, maybe?
Eh, you get half credit.
Latin for
it
fighter?
Comes from the Latin solidus, the name of a gold coin. The Roman soldier worked for whichever master paid him. He was essentially a mercenary.
That's pretty interesting.
Okay. Well, that kind of gets in the neighborhood, at least.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yep.
You got to be watching a lot of the national news. With a little bit of interest. You know, we got the fire in our area. We got the hurricane. Okay, so natural disaster kinds of responses. Still have got some of these goofballs and tearing things up and thinking that's going to somehow advance society. You know, and then this thing that we're all dealing with the virus. How's that all playing out in Fortuna?
Well, I don't know that it's playing out any different in Fortuna. You know, I've said it before. These Northern California communities, they all seem to kind of face the same things and deal with it in the same way. But I am following the national news when I'm not watching it. I'm listening to it in the car, and I made a comment to my son yesterday. We were fishing on the Klamath, and I said, jokingly, it's nice to hear things can't get any worse. But, yeah, it's...
Oh, sure. So when the earthquake happens, then it's your fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice move.
Yeah. I think I did knock on wood. I found some wood to knock
good,
on.
Good, okay.
But yeah, no, it's it definitely has my concern, just like everyone else's. And, you know, I try not to dwell on, you know, the fact that we've had already millions of... acres burned from fires alone this year. It kind of feels like, in a way, that I'm reliving that coming from the car fire times. And
yeah, I bet your smeller is a little bit more sensitive than some of our other folks that may not have experienced it. I had it, was it, let's see, today's Tuesday, yesterday morning or Sunday after doing the ball game, came out and it was like, I know this smell.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely recognize the smell. I had my doctor immediately phone in some prescription eye drops just because I'm way more susceptible now with certain irritants when the smoke is in the air. But
well, and you guys are outside an awful lot, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Whether the
yeah.
smoke or whether it's the yeah. the eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be the eyes that have hit me the worst since 2018. But I'm uber sensitive to it, and it's just, but it is so much nicer. I got some photos from my family back in the valley, and they had, you know, half inch worth of ash that was covering all the cars and, you know, raining down on a 100-degree day. So,
it's, yeah, it's really surreal. We spent an afternoon when the fire was approaching Brookings a couple years ago. We were up there, had my cousin in from Montana, and we were up there, and it was black as, you know, the ace of spades, right?
Yeah.
The red glow on the hill. It was about a half mile away.
Yeah.
Going, okay, and the particulate matter and all that kind of stuff, and it was warm.
Mm-hmm.
Drive 10 minutes south, and all of a sudden it's blue sky. I mean,
yeah.
It's really that kind of thing. It just, your reference points are all gone. It's kind of like with the virus, you know,
yeah.
what normal is. It's there's nothing really that is comparable to it.
No.
How are the troops holding up with this stuff?
Well, you know, it's funny you ask. I mean, I think the troops are doing very well with it. I think they understand that, you know, they're optimistic, if you will, that things will return to a state of normalcy at some point. However, you know, they are all human beings first, with families, as just like anybody else. And I think that, you know, everybody is frustrated with just the length at which we've been battling as a, you know, it's really an international pandemic, but, you know, been dealing with it. I don't think anybody realized on the onset of the pandemic how long we would be dealing with.
It certainly had enough lead time to really get its fingers into everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, I looked at that as a different story altogether, but the pandemic itself, I think, you know, people just thought that it would kind of come and go a lot quicker than, you know, some of the aftermath that we're dealing with at this point.
If, and I suspect that normalcy is going to be defined differently, it will be more consistency. Whatever it is, okay, it'll be that factor. Now, we heard a story this morning, I think it was it CBS? I think it was CBS or the local, it was the North Coast or the Northern California news, that California now is really, hasn't seen an awful lot of activity, and that the governor is contemplating allowing the sheriff in the various jurisdictions to go back to where we were, where you're inside restaurants and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys been having to deal with the enforcement of this situation, or is that more the sheriff and, you know, his cast of characters?
Yeah, no, I think Humboldt County is very similar to other counties, where we've gotten to a point where, you know, there's both ends of the spectrum. There's a portion of society who is totally over COVID. And
we'll be back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Casey Day from the city of Fortuna. The challenges that are out there, Casey, you know, about doing this, doing that, the code enforcement part. I know you guys aren't really code enforcement officers, even if there's some goofy stuff in somebody's front yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may call you if there's an immediate safety issue, but you call the other guys to come out, whether it's fire or hazmat or drug task force or public works or whoever it might happen to be. You know, that's not why you guys and gals are, you know, tasked. You know, you wear the badge. That's not part of it.
Right.
Is this just another form of code enforcement, wearing the masks and the restaurants and, you know, the separation and all those types of things? It seems to me like that's where it would fall.
Yeah, I think most of the law enforcement organizations in Northern California see it that way. I don't want to speak for them, but I certainly see it as more of a code enforcement type of activity. However, you know, like I had started before the break. I mean, it's
before you were so rudely cut off.
Exactly. you know, I think there's not a lot of in between right now, Brian. I think there's, you know, people that are totally following all of the recommendations that come out in an attempt to, you know, see this thing bypass us and so that people can move on. But I also understand and see the point of others on the other side who are over it. So it does make it difficult, because like I said, there's not a lot of middle ground when you have, you know, groups on the extreme left and right. So,
yeah, it's interesting for me to see. Yeah, I use the grocery store kind of as a melting pot.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you use cross section of everybody. It doesn't matter what your favorite store is. You're going to see a cross section. Right. Okay, everybody's got the mask on. Okay, fine. The separations, yes or no. The gloves, yes or no.
Yeah.
It's funny being able to read foreheads. This is about all we got, right? I mean, I will tend to smile, and you know that, and it's like there's just this lack of being able to be me kind
right.
of thing. So there's a little frustration that I have with that. Yeah. But just to see how people are interacting.
Yeah, I'm a big nonverbal guy. I could really, you know, 80% of the time I care less about what somebody's talking about because you're reading their body language. And, you know, I think that puts you more in tune as a human being with someone else to understand their point or, you know, actually listen to what they're saying. But yeah, it's hard. It's a hard read when you can't see facial expressions. And I've been fortunate, though. I got these laugh lines up in the corner of my eyes, so I think most people know when I am smiling.
I call it experience.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a good thing. Yeah.
Are you having to talk with the folks about how to read nonverbal when you can't read the face? I mean, have you gone through some of those, just a little quick reminder training moments to see? Obviously, if somebody's tensed in the, you know, you can anticipate that they're going to be doing something physical, but just to be able to read.
Yeah.
Foreheads, so to speak?
Yeah, no, I haven't really gotten into that conversation with the police officers. They do a pretty good job, you know, as they come out of the academy and they get that experience working with human beings and the, you know, increasing the number of contacts that they have with people. They really do kind of automatically start to develop that skill. And, you know, I know that it's a lot easier for me after 20 years than it was, you know, before I got into law enforcement because I didn't have the experience, if you will.
Yeah, I would think that there's a lot of just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We had another situation, Kenosha. Was it yesterday? Day before? I think it was Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, that's got to be as disturbing for you as some of the things that you see locally. Just, yeah. And whether it's another one or another situation that's blown up, I mean, we don't know enough about that one at this point.
Yeah.
Is that a reminder? Do you talk to the team about, okay, guys, you know, we've said you don't use guns until this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because there seems to be more of these occurring, or there's more reporting of what has always been going on, depending on who you're talking with.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is something that I've recently, in a roundabout way, had conversation with the police department about. You know, we talk about the civil unrest that develops from situations like this. We were talking earlier about the different catastrophic incidents, be it wildfire, what have you. And I recently put out an email just reminding people that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. And we really live in, as far as law enforcement as well, we really live in some challenging times because it's, we just don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. And, you know, unfortunately.
Well, and it doesn't have to be in Fortuna.
No.
It could be anywhere. And you're dealing with whatever the repercussions are.
Yeah. And also, you know, being called away for mutual aid at a minute, at a second's notice. I mean, these men and women have to be prepared. So
just a little bit more sensitivity, a little bit more, now, more hesitation?
Just understanding that things are going to change day to day.
Yeah, I would think you don't want to have hesitations in some of the situations you guys and gals run into.
Correct.
It's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna City Police Chief. Yeah, Fortuna City Police Chief. Not to be confused with Fortuna County Police Chief.
Yeah. That would be different.
That's what threw me. Okay. Casey Day. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood, and Murphy's Markets. Casey, as you're looking at the future now. I mean, it's certainly, if it was cloudy before, it's pretty milky right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you really project anything out? Or is it just a day-by-day proposition now because things are as they are until there's some settling?
Yeah. Internally, we project things like, increasing professionalism where we can,
Training related stuff.
Yeah, making programs the best that we can make them, being full service to our community. As far as the events, in some of these things we're talking about, they are hard to project. We have people at the highest level that are, supposed to be working in the intelligence field that sometimes have difficulty with, interpreting and making best guesses. But I think the best thing that we can do as a police department for the city of Fortuna is just always be prepared to the best of our ability to handle things as they come, and then, be prepared to mitigate those issues when we sustain them.
Typically during summertime, there's a lot of tourism activity.
I mean,
there certainly is tourism activity, but it's not to the same magnitude as what it has been. Has your call volume or the composition, has it changed much, versus the historical trends for this time of the year?
Drastically. I ran stats in July and compared them July 2020 to July 2019. And I think...
Well, no rodeo, no autorama. I mean, give me a break.
Well, I'm not sure it's what people think. Our arrests increased. They almost doubled.
This year
compared to 2019, I think it was one arrest short of 100% increase.
What type? I mean, I would think the drunken public stuff that normally accompanies some of these other events.
Well, both felonies and misdemeanors increased. And
really? So, even the misdemeanors?
Yeah. And it was kind of a moment for me in my office where I just felt like, COVID had really started to rear its ugly head as far as crime trending and crime statistics. I don't know about the other agencies, but I thought it was extremely significant given the fact that we didn't have any of these community events. So due to the pandemic, the rodeo was canceled.
Are these crimes of opportunity or frustration or what?
I think they are. I think, when you have people that are out of work and, there's really they just are given more opportunity and more time to maybe commit crimes or do things that they normally wouldn't do. So
this is intriguing. I mean, it's just as a social commentary, when there's interaction, when you guys are talking with them, what are they saying? What's happening? I mean, you could have time on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I could have time on my hands. It doesn't mean I'm going to go downtown and steal or hold somebody up or get into drugs or anything. I mean, that seems like it would be a curious connection.
Yeah, but I don't know, and I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't believe it's a case where this is normal law-abiding citizens that are now committing crime. It is intriguing that the crime statistics are up almost 100% in a time where, you know, normally arrests would increase with community events because, you know, you have a certain segment that maybe consumes too much alcohol and they make a bad decision or, you know, something like that. But, you know, I can't go into the type one or the different classifications of crimes because that wasn't a part of the statistics that I pulled. But generally speaking,
total volume
was what caught my attention.
Now, I wonder if some of it is because of the jail capacity and some of the separation.
Yeah.
So you're seeing the same cast of characters a little bit more often.
Yeah, we have dealt with that to some extent. I know as far as the relationship with the jail and the county sheriff, I mean, it's been great. When we do have those opportunities to, you know, ask for somebody to be held, normally we're accommodated. So,
or somebody to be accommodated, they're normally held.
Yeah. But generally it takes a lot, you know. These are people that are out committing 2, 3, 4, or 5 crimes in a day.
Which is easy to drive up your numbers.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Casey Day out of the city of Fortuna. What does next month look like for you? You guys got school going, mm-hmm. which is a little unique in the area, but okay. I presume there's not too many issues associated with that at this point.
Yeah.
What do you see as we start to see the season change a little bit and things kind of settling back to non-summer?
I'm just trying to keep things as normal as I can right now as the agency head. We do have some quarterly trainings coming up. Those are in-house, in-service things where it gives us a chance to just kind of practice and rehearse managing critical incidents should they occur. I talked earlier about just being prepared and being able to mitigate those issues as best as we can. So we do have a quarterly training coming up. We continue to try our best, as do all the agencies, as far as finding and getting training for our officers. It's really just hit or miss with the pandemic right now, so we're doing the best we can with that. I've launched the fundraising platform for reestablishing our canine program in Fortuna. I'm looking to do that by the end of the calendar year. So we are looking for donations.
What's the target? How much do you need?
Well, right now we're looking for somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30,000, and that's just for quality dog, the quality training, and the equipment that goes with it. So we don't need all of that money because we already have some set aside. But when we reach that goal and make a selection, we'll be reestablishing that program.
How do you choose a dog?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, actually, and maybe we can save that for another segment, but it's really just about, you know, for me, I'm passionate about canine programs. I've always paid close attention to them, and my family has always owned those type of dogs. So, you know, getting in and establishing a dog's personality and whether they have the ball drive for patrol work is something that, you know, you have to spend a lot of time with the dog, evaluating the dog, and actually be working with a pretty good kennel or a good provider that works with these dogs and that essentially trains them initially. So,
are they all shepherds?
No.
Or are there different breeds also?
Oh, yeah, there are. I've known of agencies using German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois, crosses between Malinois and Shepherds. And then...
You don't hear about too many police poodles.
No.
As an example.
No.
Or Rottweilers. You know. Dobermans, I guess, had military use.
I'm even aware of a few police departments that use Dobermans. So
I would think that would snap somebody's attitude into shape pretty quick. Not because Dobermans are nasty dogs, but because their image is a nasty dog or a Rottweiler. Yeah. You know, you see the drool slobber and the, you know, this big thick neck thing coming at you. You might back down pretty darn quick.
Yeah, you know, I think all of the working dogs have a tendency to do that. You know, there's
okay. A Chihuahua is not going to quite.
No, but you get a good German Shepherd and
yeah,
you know,
yeah, something of some size.
Yeah. So yeah, we're looking forward to reestablishing that program, and you know, it's really important for the community too. We do so much community outreach with the dog, as far as demos and things like that. But
well, it's a good PR tool.
Yeah,
as well.
They are
marketing, whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
they are. But snapping back to the schools, so the high school is in session, and then, you know, some of the distance learning programs that are going on with the elementary schools. But we are taking advantage of that time too. We just did a big project down at Walker Elementary. It used to be South Fortuna Elementary. And our school resource officer, Lindsay Frank, and a bunch of volunteers from the police department went down and repainted their U.S. map mural.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Talents just abound in
Absolutely,
Fortuna.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right,
Brian.
Maybe
we'll see you next month. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, what's his name? You know.
Yeah.
See everybody tomorrow.